ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Saram from Prashant Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, today is a lovely Thursday, May 30th, 2019. And in just a week from now, we are going to celebrate the 50 years of the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. If you have been following this program, we've been having this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. And we have shared with you the story of how the Vrindavan campus came into being. We started off narrating to you how Bhagwan used to visit Bangalore way back in the 40s and 50s. We told you how Swami purchased Nandanavanam, how Bhagwan accepted Mohan's palace, which later on became Vrindavanam, which Bhagwan unfurled in April 1964. We shared with you how it was to live with Bhagwan in the old Bangalore days, and in 1984, Swami gifted the world Trayi Vrindavan. All these beautiful landmark moments of the story of Bhagwan in Vrindavan in Bengaluru, we have been sharing in the last close to 25 episodes. And today, we continue from where we left off in the previous episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. In this series, Learning with Love in Vrindavan, I was sharing with you a conversation that I had with Brother Raghunath Sharma, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who had the chance to be with Bhagwan in Vrindavan during those years of 87, 88. And he shared about how he joined Bhagwan's college, to how it was initially to be with Bhagwan, how they were very apprehensive of going to Vrindavan because they thought that they will be missing Swami, because Swami used to stay in those days in Prashant Nilayam. But once they went to Vrindavan, how the whole scene was so different. So we'll continue to listen to Brother Raghunath Sharma. If you have missed the previous episode, you must go and download and listen. It was a very, very interesting and very enlivening episode. So today we have Brother Raghunath Sharma sharing with us some more very beautiful insights that he gathered from Bhagwan during his days in Vrindavan. And after that, you're going to listen to another lovely conversation that I had with Brother Ravi Mariwala, someone who had the chance to not only study in Bhagwan's institution, but also work in his hospital in Prashant Nilayam for close to 14, 15 years, right from the inception of the hospital till 2005. And Brother Ravi Mariwala shares his moments of revelation with Bhagwan in Vrindavan. So we'll come to that after you listen to Brother Raghunath Sharma. He is that all power, all knowledge, all grace,
yes,
all wisdom. And that's why, you know, whatever is incomplete in someone, he can fill that. And then allow that person,
yes,
to grow.
There's no escape from that. You have to improve.
Yes.
If there is too much anger in you, you'll make sure that you get rid of that anger.
Yes.
You have so much ego, make sure that ego is less. Yes. And he fills you with love.
Yes.
He makes you understand importance of, you know, like discipline.
Yes.
Give a very beautiful example and share this message,
yes,
of Swami.
Yes.
Gives, very often Swami used to give this example. The discipline is like, you know, in the olden days, transport was not so easy. At home, mother used to pack curd rice or some such a food item and then give it to you. And you take it and start walking, because you will reach your destination only by evening.
Mm.
So by the time it is afternoon, you sit near a well or place where water is available. You partake your food and then you continue. Swami gave this example.
Mm.
And that food that is given by your mom, that is like discipline.
Mm-hmm.
When you start carrying it, you get tired after some time because of walking.
Mm.
Then the bag which you are carrying, it becomes heavy for you.
Mm.
It seems heavy.
Mm.
Right, you open it and then partake it,
mm,
okay, and take a little rest, and then start the journey all over again.
Mm.
But now you feel energetic, right? you feel, you know, you can take on the world.
Yes.
So long as the food was outside,
yes,
it became a burden to you.
Burden.
But when it became, once it became part and parcel of your system,
then it energized you.
He said, discipline is like that.
Wow. Amazing.
So long as you perceive discipline as something external to you, exterior to you, right? Something that you is thrusted upon you, you feel the burden. But once it becomes part of you, it becomes your strength.
Wow.
See, so such a beautiful lesson.
Amazing,
right?
Actually. It's really phenomenal.
Such a nice analogy. Swami is like this. Day-to-day simple happenings or, you know, simple situations he will take and then he'll call out a beautiful message out of it. That is something very phenomenal about Swami students.
Absolutely. The way, I mean, it conveying all these ideas and doing it in a manner that, you know, it stays in the youngsters. And also, Swami will create a situation and he would bring in different elements. Sometimes he will create something. Sometimes he will bring in a nice analogy. Sometimes he will sing something. Sometimes he will just cure someone. So, you know, you remember the incident, you remember the message, and every time it will come back to you. Even if you forget that for a few years, suddenly all this will come back to you.
Correct.
And then put you onto that track.
Wow. The way he trains, for example, in speech, you'll call, okay, who wants to speak today? You'll call one boy and then you give a speech. And whatever is, you'll either try to correct him or improve him or make sure that he gets rid of that fear of speaking, all that. And out of that, excellent speakers have emerged.
Yes.
And today they are sharing their experiences with the outside world and sharing message of Swami. Such fantastic things they are doing. This is how Swami trained each one of us.
People
right?
who generally thought that they themselves cannot speak, people who are perceived as who can never really stand up and give a talk, they all turned out to be
Swami used to say, speakers. See how many can get this experience?
Yes.
Right? You have to go and share this love of Swami.
Yes.
Share this message with everybody.
Wow. Wow.
That is the duty you have, Swami used to tell.
Hmm.
Okay. Of course, we are always scared. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can I ever, you know. But when Swami blesses you, he will bless you with the capability.
Yes.
Swami wants availability from you. Swami used to say.
Yeah.
What I want is availability.
Yes.
Are you available for the work?
Then he'll fill us with ability.
Capability I will give you.
Yes. I mean, that way, you see, in some ways, every life is getting resurrected.
Correct.
Isn't it?
That's how he reaches out to everybody, right? Vrindavan is, that's why special in the sense, from there, lot of these beautiful things have come out.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like a light pole. Right?
Yeah.
Gives guidance to the ships that are far off in the ocean, right?
Yes.
Totally directionless. Just by looking at that lighthouse, they decide their direction.
Mm-hmm.
So Vrindavan is one such fantastic lighthouse.
It
guided directly or indirectly.
And it guided not only hundreds and thousands of students, but also I think you saw the kind of blessings that even devotees received, isn't it?
Yes. So many devotees who, you know, Swami chooses to talk to you.
Mm.
That is something very phenomenal. Very, very people from high offices coming and then addressing you. Knowledgeable people coming and then talking to you. That is something very, very special. You are mentioning about summer course. Swami made sure that really high caliber people came and then spoke to the students. So when we reflect on those things, we realize how that is also an opportunity for you to realize such great people are coming to Swami. That means what Swami must be, right? Young children may not be able to perceive that, but by relating it that way, you know that famous example Swami gives. Krishna brought Dharmaja to Bhishma, who is about to, you know, shed his mortal coil, and then asked Bhishma Pitamaha, please give some advice to Dharmaja. Because he needs to, you know, get rid of his depression and he needs to be given some direction in life. And Bhishma says, Dharmaja, when you have Krishna with you, why do you come to me? And he tells Krishna, why are you doing this? I am just so ordinary. You are there with Dharmaja. Does this make any sense? And Krishna says, no, only if you tell. Right, because he is very close to me.
Yes.
He doesn't give that much.
Yes.
Importance, or you know, he will not perceive it. When you tell him, he will understand. So Swami used that mechanism also many times.
Right. And the same thing Swami is talking, telling you day in and day out about discipline, but you will hear an army general come and tell you about discipline and how it is in the army and how they don't compromise and all this. And that's kind of a new perspective. You sit up and listen.
Yes, I remember Mr. Mahadevan Garu. General Mahadevan. He had spoken to on several occasions. General Chikbar. He is another great devotee of Swami. Many army generals, I remember once we were all surrounding Swami, pleading Swami. One such day where Swami was giving, as usual, the treatment, to the students. And he will stop talking to us and, just to make sure that if you are not following my message, then I will not speak to you. Because you have to respect my words. Then only I'll speak to you. If you're not respecting my words, why should I speak? So Swami will start like this and avoid students for some time. Then, because Swami wants everybody to do that introspection. So we were all surrounded Swami once in front of Trayi Vrindavan. I said, Swami, please talk to us on that. And 50, 60 of us are holding Swami. Some are holding Swami's legs. Some are holding Swami's hands. He's not able to, not able to move. Then he turns other side, General Mahadevan was standing. Mahadevan, chusava pillal nan yela pattukunnaru, he said. Do you observe how children are catching me? They are not allowing me to move. That's all. General got angry. He just stepped forward and, picked up each fellow and started
throwing
him. Like,
oh my God.
And he was like, how dare you stop Swami from, indiscipline like that. Some 5-6 fellows went flying. Then Swami, you should see the way Swami reacted. Swami, hey, Mahadevan, pillalu, duramullu, dappa tagulutundi. They will get hurt. You are hurting my children. You move away. It doesn't matter. They can't. Then he went back. Initially, Swami almost gave him a hint to, take these guys out. And immediately after seeing 2-3 students, feeling the pain, immediately stopped him. I mean, this is the beautiful relation that we had with Swami. Even now I remember that incident. Feel so nice about it.
Wow. I think any number of such moments, I think every day was filled with such joy, such bliss. And I think that's it's an eternal reservoir of nectar. I think all our life you can just think and ruminate on those days. And derive inspiration and motivation to walk on this path, isn't it? In fact, sir, you should also talk about that occasion when Swami resurrected someone in Vrindavan.
Oh, correct. This incident, I was there. There is something that has happened when I was seated in Trayi Vrindavan. Good, you reminded me of this. It is recorded in many books, but I have seen it happening in front of me. I have seen
a personal witness.
Personally, I have witnessed even Mr. Bose, who constructed this Sanatana Dharma Museum. Right? Same thing had happened to him during Dasara Eknam time. Swami resurrected. Senior devotee of Swami. He was sitting in the Trayi Vrindavan. Mr. Venkateshwaran, yes. He was father of one of our students. His son studied here, Mr. Rashwin. He had even worked in our super specialty, Bangalore. So he was with us. He was sitting few feet away from me. And interestingly, that day, some devotee was describing about the experience of Mr. Cohen.
Walter Cohen.
You know that, right? How Swami resurrected him. That was the experience being narrated in the Trayi session that day. We were all listening to it with rapt attention. And the speaker was saying that Mr. Cohen was brought back to life, right? Next day when doctor came, he saw him, alive and said, how all this happened? The previous day night, Swami went in the car and, he brought him back. This experience was being narrated. During that time, senior devotee was sitting a few paces away from me. He collapsed. And Swami saw this from, from where he was sitting and immediately told the boys, make way. And immediately they moved and Swami rushed to him and then tapped him on the head and then on the back and said, hey, lay, get up, he said. And then turned to us and then said, vinatam kadu prachachanga chustunnaru chudandi, he said.
Wow.
Not just listening to the experience now that's going on, the resurrection. See, I'm performing right in front of you.
The resurrection.
Yes.
Wow.
And then asked somebody to bring water and said, created Vibhuti and then gave him and said, and again he called the caretaker of Vrindavan, Mr. Bhutiaji, and then he told him, show him to doctor in the night, no problem, he'll be fine. Even now he's in our
hospital. Yeah, even now he's still there.
Right, still there. And,
wow.
And
amazing. See. To actually be there and witness
be
it.
Be there and witness it.
Wow. Right. That is phenomenal. I think, you know, Swami has resurrected so many lives
yes.
in so many ways.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, somebody is in tamas, he resurrected into rajas. Somebody
yes.
in rajas, he resurrected into sattva.
Exactly.
But everyone got a new life.
Yes.
And even when you think about those moments, you are reborn
yes.
into sublimity. You are reborn into that purity. You are reborn into...
Graduate yeah, to the next level.
Yeah, next
so,
level.
Like Swami says, no, arthi, arthati,
yeah.
jignasu,
yes.
jnani.
Yeah.
Whichever level,
yes.
he connects with you and then takes you to the next level.
Wonderful. Right. Thank you so much, sir. I know you can go on. It's really been absolutely blissful listening about Vrindavan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we're very eagerly waiting for 8th and 9th of June.
Right. June for the Golden Jubilee celebration. I think we'll be filled with so many such stories. Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Raghunath Sharma, former student of Bhagwan's University, now serving in the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science. So we move on to more Vrindavan stories, lovely anecdotes of deep moments of love, deep moments of learning, deep moments of introspection and deep moments of insights as we walk with Swami in the journey of life. Let me now share with you the conversation that I had with Brother Ravi Mariwala. Sai Ram, Brother Ravi Mariwala, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you, Prushti. Thank you for having
just
me.
A few days from now, we are going to have the Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Vrindavan campus, and you are someone who has had the chance to see Swami in Vrindavan, interact with Bhagwan in Vrindavan as a student and also later on as a brother working in the hospital. So what are those beautiful moments which Vrindavan always brings you back whenever you go to this ashram?
Sure, yeah. Thank you, Prushti. I spent most of my beautiful years with Swami at Parthi, and we enjoyed being around Swami over here a lot, but then we would also look forward to being in Vrindavan because that was a different experience. And Swami, I think, was also so conscious about giving us like a vacation time when we visited him there.
Yeah. I think even though you have seen any number of times Bhagwan in Prashantilam, you always long for the Vrindavan darshan.
Absolutely, absolutely. And my, you know, initial years, even before I became a student, I had visited Vrindavan, where the old tree was, the old Sai Ram shed.
Yes.
And I was fortunate enough to see Swami give the Nagar Sankirtan darshan.
Oh, wow, from the old bungalow.
Yeah, which is
wow.
amazing. So, you know, I was brought up in Mumbai, and a similar equivalent of that Nagar Sankirtan darshan was the Nagar Sankirtan darshan outside Dharma Kshetra.
Yes.
No value can be attached to that. It is beyond value.
Mm.
Swami coming out in Dharma Kshetra and with the sun rising behind, and Swami is
wow.
up on a hill.
Yes.
It's all green around Swami. Similar lines, Vrindavan, when he used to come out for the Nagar Sankirtan, such a still, he would give us that stillness
yes.
through his presence. So those were my initial contact with Swami before I became a student. And then once I became a student, there were so many different occasions where we went to Vrindavan. But if I try to put it in a framework, you know, the initial contact with Swami was when we were growing up around him as students, and we tried to align with his ideology, his way of thinking. We wanted to ape him. We wanted to be like him.
Mm.
So one of the first memories I have is when he asked me to speak in the Kalyan Mantapam. In those days, we would rush to Kalyan Mantapam. It was like a semi-private session with limited numbers.
Mm.
Then we would go for another session to Trayi. So during that session, we were doing very intense bhajan. When I opened my eyes, I saw Swami looking at me, and just with a flick of his left eyebrow, he said,
oh.
You are on next.
Okay.
And that's when, you know, you start losing all the joy of bhajan, because, you know, now the pressure is on you to deliver the goods.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got up to speak, and there was no time to prepare.
I think that's how it was most of the time, right? You
absolutely
had always very little time to even think what you have to speak. Suddenly, he will ask you to do.
And some spontaneous thought came into my mind, and I said during the course of my talk that just like Swami talks about the four F's, the five D's, I made up the five C's.
Uh-huh.
And it was on the spur of the moment. And I remember saying that we are all chips of the old block,
mm-hmm.
which means that we are made of the same wood, right?
Yes.
Swami is the parent, Swami is the God, and we are part of Him. And Swami turned around and He was looking at me as I spoke. And after I finished those five C's, I started with clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Clarity is the basis of whatever you want to do, the direction that you set in your life. If you don't have clarity, you're like a rudderless ship.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went on to say, conviction comes next. Then character builds up.
Mm-hmm.
As character builds up, then confidence grows. Then
mm-hmm.
I said, but like we students are like the Vanaras. We are just craving to be around Him.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these other four C's only matter if you crave for the Lord, crave to be at His feet.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was, everybody was kind of little bit paralyzed because they had never heard of this clarity conviction type of thing, and nobody had dared to make one of these, right? I was taking a little bit of a liberty. And then they were all little bit nonplussed, everybody was looking, and suddenly Swami started applauding. And so then taking a cue from Swami, everybody started clapping. Anyway, that was a very sweet memory, but I think it pleased Swami.
He only gives you those thoughts. He only speaks and then He only claps.
Yeah, exactly. And I think He was happy. He was joyous.
Mm.
And I think the thing is that He wants us all to be the chip of the old block. He wants us to be like Him.
Yes.
Right? If we can just be like Him, we've done our job.
Mm.
So then what happened, I was a student at that time, and normally that privilege Swami would not give to a student, but He asked me with a gesture to walk with Him.
Ah, wow.
And I'd never done that. So I walked behind Him on three lawns.
Mm-hmm.
All the other boys were standing on the side. And Swami was holding His robe and walking on the lawn. And I was walking with hands folded just little bit behind Swami. Suddenly He stopped on the middle of the lawn. And He said, "Who are you?"
Oh.
And I was completely taken aback.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, out of the blue. This was not a question I had even heard Swami ask others.
Mm.
So I didn't know what to say, but spontaneously from me it bubbled up. And I said, "Swami, I am your son." I said it with conviction. I said it with simplicity and spontaneity.
Mm.
And He was very happy.
Wow.
And He said, "Chesko. Take namaskar again." Just 10 minutes back I had taken namaskar. He was happy and He said, "Take namaskar again."
Wow.
So it just brings back that joy, like I started to say, right? Those years were the phase for me of conceptual alignment. We were trying to align around Swami, try to understand what He stood for and how we could walk in that path.
I mean, it's very interesting that, you know, you spoke about we being chip of the same block, and now Swami, suddenly when He asked you, you were able to say what exactly aligned with what you had spoken.
Yes.
I mean, it just came spontaneously.
Yes.
But I think, as you said, because that conviction was there, that feeling was there, that's what probably touched Swami.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, if you see that alignment with Him started to grow, and if you go down further in my memory lane, we had been to Chennai with Swami. We were about 50 boys. This was an industrial trip. You know, we were going there. Swami had taken us along with Him. But the purpose was actually to complete an industrial tour.
Those were the initial days of Bhagwan starting the MBA course, was it?
Yeah, we were third or fourth batch.
Mm.
But some of the batches had done the industrial trips in Bangalore.
Mm.
This one was in Chennai. And it coincided with Swami's trip to Chennai. So we had a great time, but we were not able to live in Sundaram because Sundaram, Swami's ashram there, is much smaller. So we were living in Mr. Srinivasan's guest house, which was quite a distance away. So many memories I have of that some, you know, where Swami chided us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, I used to always say that we are gaining with Swami in three ways. We are gaining, the mental growth is there, in the growth of the psyche, understanding business, we are doing our MBA.
Mm.
Then we are definitely growing spiritually because we are with Bhagwan himself.
Yes.
I say, I don't want to leave out the last way in which we are growing. Our stomachs are growing because the food is so delicious.
I know.
So that became a habit, and in fact, when we came back from Chennai, he asked me to speak.
Mm.
And at the end of my speech, I wanted to make it humorous. So I started to say this.
Mm.
And Swami was saying to the group of boys, now he is going to talk about food. Right? He knew, I'm repeating the same trio, three themes. And I couldn't figure out, I was standing facing the student. And when I spoke about spiritual, then Swami said, now he's going to talk about food. And the boys started giggling. And I'm saying, why are they giggling? The joke is not yet out. So that happened, and then what happened is in Sundaram, I was missing Swami a lot. This is what happens very often. People think you're having a great time with Swami, but due to the special circumstances, we were in the industrial trips, we were visiting factories, TAFE, L&T. And then by the time we would reach the ashram, it would be late, and invariably, our bus entering the ashram would be met with sounds of the aarti.
Mm-hmm.
I started feeling so bad about it that, hey, the world thinks that we are with Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we are having even less of Swami than Chennai devotees.
Mm-hmm. So, you're not staying with him.
Yes.
And you're going on your
industrial
visits.
So, I felt so bad about it. And then this worked on me. And I remember sitting in the bus and feeling so desperate that, Swami, why can I not see you more, be with you? So when we came back to Vrindavan, that intensity was still there. I was still thinking seriously about that. So, Swami, have I done something wrong that I am not able to spend more time with you? And I think Swami is always listening. He's waiting to hear these words where we call him, you know, where we pine for him. We have to verbalize it internally. That is the lesson for me. So what happened? He was taking photographs with us in the Trai Vrindavan lawns, but he chose to stand in the shadow of the Trai. So you know, Trai, the building, has a big shadow it casts. And Swami chose to stand in a place which was so dark, and then the boys started coming one by one. So our senior batch finished, and then our batch started coming to Swami, standing, taking a picture and going away.
So Swami is giving individual picture to all the boys?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
All the 54 boys got an individual picture, and the lecturers who had accompanied us. Professor Rao, Mr. Bhagya, Sudhir Bhaskarji. So when my turn came, and I have pictures of this, suddenly G.V. Ravi Shankar and many of our other students who were, you know, the cameramen of those days, at one sweep, all their cameras, the flashes failed. It was not one camera.
Oh my God.
There were at least six or seven cameras.
Hmm.
And all of their cameras, the flash failed. And there's no purpose in taking a picture of Swami. It looked like so dark in that region. So Swami said, "Em chesedi, what will we do now?" So I remember one boy even ran to the hostel to Ruchir Sir's store and to try to get batteries to power the flash
but
again.
But all seven cameras went off.
All seven went off. So all the boys were away. The camera boys were this side. And it was only me and Swami. And Swami started talking to me as if he wanted to spend that time giving me a private interview.
Wow.
And he started saying, "Em chestunnav ippudu?" And I said, "Swami, I'm finishing first MBA. Ee Chennai trip lo em em chusyavu?" So I said, "Swami, we went to TAFE, we went to other companies." Then he said, "Parents kuda ucchara?" I said, "Swami, my parents actually came to Chennai and they were there coming for darshan." "Where is sister now?" Said, "Swami, she is in Anandpur." So he literally used the time when the cameras failed to give me a private interview and to keep talking and inquiring into my life. It was a rare moment, you know, and that is what we associate with Vrindavan,
right? Yes.
In Parthi, to get an opportunity with Swami, you have to get into the esteemed, hallowed ground of the interview room.
Yes.
That's where you can talk to Swami
yes.
freely.
Yes.
In Vrindavan, you can imagine that happening on the lawns or in
yes.
Trai.
Yeah.
And Swami, I feel, and this is not actually something for me, I think this is the message He's giving mm. to all of us who love Him, mm. devotees, students, mm. right? That if you call on me,
mm.
call on me with that power,
mm.
call on me with that deep love,
mm.
knowing that I am responding, knowing that I am available. But as Ramakrishna used to say, when Vivekananda asked Sri Ramakrishna, Master, have you seen God? And he says, yes, I have seen Him like I see you. But then Ramakrishna added, and this part we generally miss out, he said, but who cries for God? Right? We sometimes pay some token to Swami or to God and, you know, pay a token by asking for it. But if only we step back and say, Swami, I really want to feel you in my life. I want to feel that inner joy today. The same joy that I felt when I was massaging your feet in the interview room, or that I felt when you passed by me in darshan. I want to feel that joy, Swami. Is it possible for you to give me that joy now? If only we ask with that conviction and with that deep yearning, it will happen.
And He will go to any extent to make it happen.
Exactly.
I think just like this instance, you know, He sort of rearranged all the circumstances in the universe at that point in time,
yes.
just
yes.
so that vacuum that you felt, that I was with Swami for so many days in Chennai, but I had not had my fill of Swami.
Yes.
And He wanted to ensure that, you know, you feel complete.
Yes. Yes.
So for that, you know, He wanted to recharge you.
Yes.
Even as those cameras
yes.
are being charged.
Yes. That's what they say, you know. See, we ascribe so many different reasons and causes to the advent of the avatar. But there's a beautiful passage in Anyatha Sharanam Nasti. The Swami said, why the avatar comes? And He says, the main reason for the avatar coming is because He is the concretization of the yearning of the devotees.
Yes.
So this word became very important to me, yes. yearning.
Yes.
So the first step was aligning with Swami, knowing about Him. But the next step should be, that should turn. Now we are aligned with Him. We know what He wants, what He expects, what He stands for. But now we want to become part of that.
Mm.
We want to bridge that gap between us and Him. That is the yearning.
Mm.
And I think today, as well as while Swami was around us physically, we have that opportunity to bridge that gap and become one with Him.
Yes, that's so very beautifully said about the purpose of the advent of the avatar. Because everything that the avatar wants, God wants, He can do from wherever He is.
Exactly.
You know, He's all pervasive.
Yes.
He can do dharma sthapana and take care of the devoted and, you know, ensure that the evildoers perish or whatever
yes.
we ascribe as the duties or the responsibilities.
With
the
flick of His hand,
He can do it. But He comes only to give that joy.
Yeah.
You yearn to be with Him and
yeah.
He wants to give you that joy.
Yeah. During the time He spent with students and devotees, He has given glimpses of how to successfully elicit a response.
Yes.
What is the way?
Exactly.
So I remember as a student, see, that is why sometimes I think Swami used to make students face the devotees and sit.
Mm.
So as He comes and goes to the devotees, picks up their letters, gives them namaskar, blesses them, we would be observing the intensity on their faces.
Yeah.
And one indelible impression that is there in my heart is one devotee before darshan, you know, we used to sit on the steps. So I was facing this side. I was meditating. Just opened my eyes. I saw one devotee chanting furiously and continuously for 20-25 minutes before the darshan music started. This devotee was, it seemed like he's not chanting a mantra, but he's talking to Swami. He's agitated, he's pining, he's asking something, he's making a conversation with Swami. And when Swami came, he was not a known person or one of the people who works in the college or institute. Swami came and I felt like Swami is pulled to Him like a magnet.
Mm.
Because by asking, by communing with Swami, He had created a communication channel with Swami, and Swami came to Him. Swami looked at Him with so much joy and responded. And This was one impression that has stayed with me forever, that if you chant what you want, Swami, please do this for me, Swami, please give me that inner joy. If you repeat it and believe in the fact that Swami is listening to that, then the response will happen. So maybe this was in the back of my mind when I was feeling that separation from Him in Chennai.
I think that is the most beautiful thing of having the avatar, that you can actually see the fructification of your prayers. And that really adds so much confidence.
Absolutely.
As you walk on the spiritual path.
And that is how He sowed the seeds for us to do that today, Pushti.
Yes.
As a group of students and devotees. See, if you see Sri Ramakrishna's life, He taught only for 5 years. People don't know that. Jesus Christ, the total duration of what you call the ministry was 3 years. Swami has spent so much time with us in different settings, Parthi, Vrindavan,
Kodaikanal,
yes. And, He's given us those experiences. Now, we just have to dwell in them. But basically, we are all searching for the inner joy. That inner joy that we felt when we were with Him, we have to now create it inside us.
So beautiful. And as you said, that joy comes, the starting point is that yearning. And you are someone, even after you finished your education here, you yearn to be here, yearn to work for His mission, and He gave you the chance to work in His hospital.
Yes. Yes, we were very fortunate, Pushti. In fact, during my MBA, He handpicked two of us, and later it grew to a group of five. He handpicked us and He inspired us about the possibility of working for Him. So if you look at it, right, I spoke initially about conceptually aligning.
Yes.
Then I saw how in my own life, I started yearning.
Yes.
So it's okay to conceptually align, it's just knowledge.
Yes.
Swami always said, convert knowledge into action.
Yes.
That is complete. So we yearned for Him. And you need both of these things, conceptual alignment and yearning, right? Because then you are linked with Him. But there is no use of having this if you don't participate in His mission.
Yes.
And I feel so beholden to Swami that whatever my background, my education, my leanings in my own personality, but He gave this beautiful opportunity to be the first few employees of the hospital.
Wow.
And, some of the things that we experienced in the hospital, we got to see firsthand the challenges that Swami has had to deal with. These are often things which people don't know. They think, Satya Sai Baba, He waves a hand and everything happens. But as students, while we completely believed in Bhagwan, we knew that He is going to mount, He is going to find a way to deal with each of the challenges that are coming with this project.
I think it is just so that we learn.
Yes.
Otherwise, yes, He can,
yes,
with a snap of His finger, make, yes, things happen.
Yes.
But when He took a human form, He, yes, was telling us how to deal with it.
Yes.
And you had the opportunity to see it live, yes, right?
So, generally people think that the opening of the hospital was a tremendous, we call it Vajra Sankalpa, which I completely agree. And we can talk about it in another session. But it was not only the opening and the getting the hospital going, which was a big deal, but subsequently also a lot of things happened which went beyond the challenge of funding. A lot of other challenges, getting skilled manpower, getting power to run the machines. The hospital cannot have machines going off even for 1 minute. Even a few seconds will cost multiple lives in an ICU setting. So there were a lot of things that Swami had to personally involve Himself in to get those things done, enable the hospital to achieve all of those capabilities slowly over time. And what happened is, when we talk about where I had an opportunity to express this, so during the summer course in one of the early 90s, Swami said, call Ravi from Puttaparthi. Let him also tell about the hospital.
Oh, wow. So and part of the summer course talk.
Yeah. And part of that, I knew whenever I used to speak in front of Swami after I joined the hospital, I would tell instances, miracles. And Swami said, chal chal, enough. Now you tell about the hospital. Hospital gurinchi cheppu. So I had kind of gotten used to that. And I felt like, okay, I'm blessed to be able to report to the devotee community what I am seeing firsthand. And I was thrilled, I was inspired, because Swami gave me a small recorder. Uh-huh. And he said, can you go around, record, get feedback from the patients.
Wow.
Talk to them.
And the Radio Sai work had started much before.
Exactly. Yeah. And see, that's the beauty of Swami. He doesn't say that I've done a good job. He said, go find out if the job is being done well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I did many, many interviews, and I understood that Swami is not just curing physical defects. The aspirations, the longings of people to live a normal life, to pursue their career, to support their family. Some of the people whom we operated wanted to go join the army because their father had worked in the army. But due to that heart defect, they were not able to fulfill that desire to be army men. So many different things came out.
I can imagine how enriching and how touching this experience would have
absolutely,
been for you.
Absolutely. And slowly I learned, like you all do so well, that to make the scenario complete, after I would talk to the patient, I would go and interview the doctor, and he would tell me, the cardiologist or the cardiac surgeon, he would talk about how serious the defect was. And, you know, then I would talk to the surgeon and said, what did you encounter when you opened the chest and you looked in the heart? Did the cardiologist do a good job? Was the diagnosis accurate? And what challenges did you face? So that became like a complete set of, you know, it was a bundle.
Yes.
But the most touching thing was what they would say when in the post-operative ward, I would ask them, what did you like about Swami's hospital? And they would mention several things. You know, in the ward, they would have a small bhajan in the evening. And many of them would say that that 15-minute bhajan that they did at the side of the ward gave them a lot of peace.
Wow.
And now I work in US healthcare IT in the US, you know, and I see if only we could bring, it doesn't have to be Sai bhajans, if we bring that spiritual element of healing into our healthcare delivery systems, it can be transformative if only we believe in it.
Yes.
That's something I learned way back when I was working in the hospital. And then patients used to say, I got my diagnosis done in this other hospital, and they would leave the food plate in front of my bed on the trolley, but I would have slept off. I was so weak after the procedure, and they would just come and take the plate away.
Oh.
But in this hospital, what I found is there are some people with the blue scarf. They come, and if I've forgotten to eat, they will say, I have to take the food back. Can you please finish? Not only that, they will wait there and say, eat little bit more. And see, this came directly from the patients. This is not my thought, because I never worked or rounded our post-operative wards. Such an eye-opener that what we see as the action and the objective of what we are doing, it may not be the complete picture. As Swami said, right? You are not one person but three. Like that. While we thought we are delivering cardiac care, even these other elements of the care went to make the...
It was not healing just the physical heart. It was recreating the heart, actually.
Yes.
The heart in its complete sense.
Yeah.
Because physical heart is just a very little part of what the heart is, isn't it?
And then they would
say... It's a different thing, actually.
They would say that, you know, I don't see those people again. So what makes those people give so much time and attention to me? See, generally, if you are working with each other for a long time, if you see familiarity, there is a bonding. But our sevadal are doing such a wonderful job. They may be coming for a few days, but they get attached to the patient. See, that type of attachment is what we need.
Yes.
It is not an attachment due to...
There is nothing selfishness there.
Exactly. Not a prior relationship, a reporting relationship. It's a... So, when I think about this hospital experience, and this is what I narrated in the summer course, when Swami asked me to speak, I remember saying this, duty with love is desirable. And if you see a nurse in a hospital feeding the patient, you want the nurse to feed the patient, ask the patient, are you full? Can you not have two more spoons?
Yes.
You need the... That is duty with love.
Yes.
It's desirable, but it's often absent. Right? We're not even able to reach that level.
Yes.
Duty without love is really deplorable.
Yes.
Right? You just don't want to see expressions of duty being done without love. There are many such things.
Yes.
A janitor cleaning a room but not doing it with concern, not picking up the garbage even, right? Or a mother who's bringing up the child but not doing it with love, right? So duty without love, duty with love, these are common. But when you think about the hospital, Swami had no duty towards these thousands and thousands of patients who have been seen, operated on, healed, and we continue to engage with them even through outreach and other mechanisms. Swami had absolutely no duty to any of these patients. He did not know them. They had not approached Swami that, Swami, please do this for us. He took this up suo moto, right? It is called doing something completely on your own. And even as a student, when I thought, why did Swami set up this hospital? What drove him to make such a massive effort in a place like Prashanti Nilayam? And see, because I worked in cardiac surgery, I was a clinical perfusionist, I knew that in those days, even till the early 2000s, in the tier 2 cities, cardiac surgery had not reached. If you wanted to get good cardiac work done, you had to go to Mumbai, Chennai, even Hyderabad would be considered not a favorable option. You know, you had to go to the top 4 cities of India, you know, the mega cities. But at that point of time, Swami took up this Herculean task where there was no foundation for this type of work to be done. You know, no skilled manpower, power, water, none of those things were there. And see, normally how we human beings think, this is what I said in the talk, we want to first set up everything and say, once I am ready, then I will think about the next step. See, divinity works in a different way. That Vajra Sankalpa first decided, I want to do this. And when he said, I want to do it, there was not an iota of benefit to Swami or for the devotees. In fact, at one point, they asked Swami, Swami, there's so much waiting for the hospitals, there's so many patients, shall we make it only for devotees? And Swami said, who is a devotee? See, Swami didn't have to explain. Say, who is a devotee? For Swami is a universal Lord. There is no such thing. So he didn't open this hospital with any motive except selfless work. And that is the example he set, right? So when we think about this particular saying of Swami, love without duty is divine. If you want to find out what is divine in your surroundings, what is divine in the people you work with, what is divine in the stories you have heard, look for this. Love without duty. This is what I said. And as I was speaking, I think I got very passionate like I did now. And Swami said, enough, enough. You are going in a lot of detail. I was standing next to Swami. But I noticed that people in the audience were very connected with Swami because they didn't know these things. Brindavan and Parthi are neighbors, but they didn't know this. But Swami stopped me. And we are very obedient, right, which we must be. So I hastily concluded my speech without making it apparent. And I came and sat down under the stage. But I recollect that Swami continuously making eye contact with me. So I imagined maybe Swami's feeling that he asked me to stop my speech quickly. So he's being kind to me, he's looking at me. But I didn't know what's coming. And Swami spoke. You know, two students spoke, then Swami spoke, then he sang a bhajan, and then after the bhajan, he called me up, and he turned the mic to me, that big, heavy, double mic.
Oh, his mic?
His mic. And he said, ippudu dandiga baga cheppu.
Oh.
So I said, wow.
Tell now.
Now tell in detail what you wanted to tell. And see, it's a question of timing, right? When the time is right and the place is right, the opportunity will come. And by then, I had also time to think that what I had mentioned to this group of devotees and students who were listening, and I changed my track a little bit and spoke about a single patient who, after cardiac surgery, heart surgery, had gone into a post-operative complication stage called DIC, and his blood was not clotting. So the way the hospital combined forces, different departments, microbiology, blood bank, laboratory, cardiologists, got together. See, this is all commonplace today, right? We are in 2019. But in 1991, 1992, in a new hospital, people were thinking about a care team. This is a common theme today in the US, to talk about the care team. But the pharmacists, the cardiologists, the other departments all got together. How can we fix the problem? We must get this patient to safety. We must get him to recover. And I remember we were doing blood transfusion of almost 5 to 7 blood bags per day. Mm-hmm. Now go to think about this. Even in a large city, you're not going to be able to get that much volume of blood to transfuse to one patient.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, we never asked the patient to bring blood. So the onus or the responsibility was on the hospital to manage this much blood collection. And Swami was not in Parthi. When Bhagwan is in Parthi, a lot of devotees here, when you post a message like that I need B negative or O negative, devotees would come and offer to transfuse, to give blood, right? Swami was in Vrindavan. So the devotees in Parthi were very sparse, very thin. Even then, the hospital made this effort to get blood organized. And we had to get antibiotics from the US. Those antibiotics were not available in India. And the per day expense just for that single patient was incredibly high. So I had an opportunity to share. See, and Swami never likes advertisement. So at the end, he gave me a lot of time, and I have that picture where Swami is smiling. It's such a beatific smile. Because this is what he wants from us. See, especially in the US, we are sometimes not aware what is the situation of our brothers and sisters here. And it's not merely India. This could be the position in Tanzania or Kenya or some other country. People are not, while we are enjoying 3,000 square feet house with 3 cars, there are people who used to come to the hospital without slippers. They could not afford a pair of flip-flops. And I think this has always remained with me. So I tried to communicate some of these ideas. And Swami, after I concluded, it was such a privilege to stand with alongside Swami.
And he gave
Swami,
you his mic.
Yeah. And you know, the discourse table, and I'm holding my hands and folding my hands and speaking. And then after I turned the mic back to Swami, I said, thank you for the opportunity. Then Swami said, no advertisement. Because this boy is in the hospital, I asked him to say a few words about the work they do. So it's very heartwarming.
Mm.
And when I look back, see, everybody's journey with Swami is a personal journey, right? Swami has taken us through those phases of conceptually aligning with him. We read about him in some book. We hear something that he says in a discourse. But then we want to become one with him. We want to go in his proximity because that gives us ananda. But the consummation of that, the logical end to that, is being one with him in his work.
Mm.
Everything that he came to do, and it's not only hospital work, even inner work on ourselves, self-analysis. Once we become participants in his mission, that is like the logical conclusion of our journey with him. So I feel like many of these milestones I was able to go through in Vrindavan.
Hmm.
And so Vrindavan is that place for me where, you know, these things happen.
Beautiful. I think that is the reason why in everyone's heart, Vrindavan has a special place. Because
absolutely,
everyone has one incredible Vrindavan memory, whether
absolutely
you are a Vrindavan student or a Prashantini
student. Yeah. No, absolutely. I have many beautiful memories. And it's all Swami's daya. See, it's all his compassion. See, there are thousands of students who have such incredible memories.
Yes.
And we are discovering how many more he gave his time to.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And I think the summer course was one occasion where you had this chance to be with Swami, live with Swami for those 15 days,
yes,
20 days, and every day listen to some
yes
really fantastic
yes
talks apart from Bhagwan's
and enjoy excellent meant food. Let's not leave that.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir.
Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Ravi Mariwala, former student of Bhagwan's University, who had the chance to work in the super specialty hospital in Puttaparthi right from the time it was inaugurated in 1991 till 2005. And there is so much more that brother has to share, which we will definitely offer you in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So this is just a glimpse of how it was to be in Vrindavan, how it was to live with Bhagwan in the holy presence of the Vrindavan Ashram. June 8th and 9th, we are going to celebrate 50 years of this campus, and it is going to be a landmark. Even the Vice President of India, Mr. Venkaiah Naidu, is going to be in Vrindavan for this event on June 9th, 2019, in the early morning function. And we have hundreds of students, hundreds of alumni converging in Vrindavan for this sacred occasion. We will definitely be back with many more stories of how it is to be in Vrindavan and those lovely olden golden Vrindavan moments that boys have experienced right from 1969. Praying to Swami that He blesses us with more opportunities of listening to His glory, living in His glory, so that there is no other story for us to live by other than His story. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can send us your feedback also on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.